Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh, ooh, it went. Wow.
Creators Entertainment Radio.
I know.
Is the spice of life.
All right, let's try to be professional. Okay, you go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I am your host, Lisa Watson, and I am wishing everyone out there a very happy new year. It's great to be back after a break for the holidays, and, you know, I couldn't think of a better way to start 2016 than having my next guest stop in for a visit. Just a little backstory here. I met her a few years ago at the RT Book Lovers Convention, and we hit it off immediately and have not looked back since. Actually,
oh, thank
we
God.
Sort
you
of
didn't go into detail of the meeting. You just
yeah. Actually, we swear. Sort of adopted each other, and
exactly.
I staked a claim to her parents, and now I'm officially her twin. So
that is correct. That is correct.
Huzzah.
Yeah.
She is an award-winning and USA Today best-selling author of historical romance, among other things. And recently, we've added contemporary romantic comedy to that. And she has won RT Reviewer's Choice Award for Best Debut for her historical novel a few years ago, and she has not slowed down since. By the end of 2015, she had penned over 16 novels and several novellas. She's been published with Simon & Schuster and Berkeley, as well as branching out into independent publishing, audiobooks, and comic books. For over 4 years, she has been the host of the Romance Bookmark, which was formerly Canned Laughter and Coffee, another weekly radio show with Reader Entertainment Radio. And so you'll probably
full disclosure.
Hear us going, you go, no, you go, no, you go. So, yeah, we're juggling hosts tonight. But
well, I can't ever get my music to go, so I was just so amazed at that went.
Yes, we were very excited when everything kind of, see, you bring that energy to it.
You're
because
gifting.
Most of the time
no, and
like
I'm listening to my intro, and I'm like, who is that? Because that person, I want her on my show. Oh,
it is a very pregnant pause sometimes, but it worked out. So from wine wrangling to stand-up comedy and public speaking, there's nothing off the table. No, really, nothing, people. Except,
true.
Of course, for any dancing involving a pole.
That's true.
She's past
that. I draw the line. I draw the line.
Now she lives in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountains with her husband and beautiful, lovely daughters, and in what she calls an adequate number of cats, which she says qualifies her as a true romance writer.
True.
Brinkley, you're in trouble. I just got a dog.
I'm sorry.
So it is...
a small dog counts. Small dog does count. But,
so it is my pleasure, in case you haven't figured it out yet, to introduce Renee Bernard to the show this evening. Welcome, Renee.
Wow, that you were still in the introduction. I was like, surely heard my name's been it spat out at some point. We're all good. No, it's me. Yes. And the stand-up comedy and the weird stuff, that's only because I apparently cannot turn down a dare and believe in trying anything once just to prove you can do it. So that has proved to be a problem and at the same time an amazing gift over the years. So there you go.
Well, I
why limit yourself?
You are here tonight joining me. And I hope you're comfortable and you have your tea because we've got a lot of ground to cover in a short amount of time. And it seems like just 48 hours ago since last we spoke, so clearly we've got some catching up to do.
Yeah, we usually talk every day, so no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm excited to be here. I've never been nervous ever. I mean, I've got, you know, the show, but I'm suddenly nervous when you're like, this is it, we're going to cover some ground. I'm like, oh, I should sit down and focus. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay. All right.
I guarantee you, you've got it. I am not throwing anything out here that's any type of surprise.
Actually, since the wine wrangling is an issue, I should just get a glass of wine. It's sun's over the yardarm somewhere in the world. So,
you know, and since, you know, we are such dear friends, and who knows how this is going to go, you know, I actually did not write a script this evening. I've got a couple of questions I want to ask, but we are totally, like I said in a couple of my posts tonight, we are off the rails, people. We're flying blind, and it's going to be fun, though.
Woo-hoo. The twin thing is real, though. I mean, I have very good friends that they're like sisters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You get that sense. But you and I, it's a whole other level. And the minute I saw you, it was just this very strange, world's weirdest introduction, I think, of two people.
It seriously was. Seriously.
It was weird. But that's because I was involved, so I brought the weird. But I just, it was over. I think it took about 93 seconds, and then that was it. We were...
It took less than that, I think, because I took one look at the awesome duster you had on, and I felt compelled. I had to say something. And I was just looking in the mirror, and you were reflected there, and you had that awesome coat on, and it was velvet, wasn't it? Black?
Red velvet. It was a red.
Red,
that was my red.
Red velvet. But then you had
Lurling.
The... Right.
I love that.
Yes, that's a very nice coat. So, yeah, see... Anybody wearing a duster, I feel obligated to say something, especially one as beautiful as yours. So,
it's weird that way, but yes, that is how red velvet. And red velvet, people also want to touch you. So I found out that wearing velvet has some drawbacks, but not in this case. It totally paid off. Yeah,
I think
that
reminds me
coat.
Of Eddie Murphy coming to America when he played the Jewish guy. What is that velvet? I can see somebody just coming up touching you. Is that velvet?
It's like, stop talking. Stop stroking me. Stop.
Please, I am not a cat. Stand down.
Yeah.
You're in my 3 feet of personal space. Incidentally, I forgot to inquire. Does our mother know that this show is going on tonight?
No, I didn't tell her because she's always the one caller that calls. And I love that support from her. It's so wonderful. But at the same time, I thought, you know, poor mom, we should probably give her a night off. And and she just got back from St. Augustine, so we should...
I saw the post for that. And did you see she encountered a real-life ghost?
I did not see that.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, she posted that on Facebook. She was in a... I think it was some type of bed and breakfast where a ghost has been known to walk around. And so she said, yes, she in fact encountered a little noise there, and everybody was on the first floor, so nobody was upstairs. She heard some noises and some stuff going on. So,
Wow. That's so crazy.
She's super excited, seriously. And she was like, come in contact with my first ghost.
That's so cool. You have to. Hey, listeners, you have to know my mom to really get all this. But trust me, this is a wonderful. This is a huge moment. This is a turning point.
I know, it's awesome.
This is exciting.
I don't know.
I'm excited.
I'm a little nervous, and we'll talk about that in a second. But you know, I want to give you the opportunity to actually tell us a little bit about how you got started and what initially kind of drew you to historical romance.
Do you want the politically correct story or do you want the God's honest truth?
There's two versions.
You know when you're blogging, you do like that. Really? You sure?
Yeah.
So there's like the version that you put out about, I've always been a reader and admire, you know, that one.
You know, I'm sure everybody's heard that one. But, tell me the unabridged version.
Unabridged.
The down and dirty twin version.
The true reason, like behind the September 11th, the whole thing, because I was like, oh, I'm going to follow my dreams. But before that even happened, I think what really inspired me to try it was I picked up a really bad novel. And it was so bad. It was so bad. And I have a sacred bond with books. You just don't,
mm-hmm.
The DNF was, I had never experienced that before, the do not finish, the, you know, throw it away. And
oh,
it happened
yeah.
to me, hit page 183 and decided I couldn't go on. I was like this dire moment of horror. And I remember just sort of chucking that book in a corner and being completely unhappy and disappointed and a lot of things. Because it was an
mm-hmm.
author that was well known and who I had previously just loved every book and
mm-hmm.
did not love this one. And like a lot of readers, I think there had been a mystique about writers. It had just felt like a very otherworldly profession. It had felt
mm-hmm.
untouchable. And suddenly, that book was so bad. And I thought, I could do better than, I mean, what is this thing that passed an editor's hands that somebody said, yes, I'm gonna print this book. It's so great. I'm going to, you know, distribute it all over. I'm going to do it. And all of those questions kind of dominoed into, I think I could do better. I think if I were writing, you know, this kind of, and then the aforementioned ability to dare, not turn down a dare or not be able to pass up a chance to, well, if you say you can, then you need to demonstrate that you can. And
mm-hmm.
so I wrote a book to prove that I could and put it in a drawer for a long, long time. And then later really thought about how that was actually the most fulfilling fun I had ever had in my entire life. And I wanted to just do it. And there you go. I Acapulco cliff dived into writing, and I've never looked back. I've really enjoyed it. And secret Easter egg, that book, that horrible, horrible book that I first wrote a million years ago, is actually on Amazon. I indie pubbed it just for fun under a completely different pen name. So it's like a secret find. I dare people
Ooh.
To find that book, but it's out there. Yeah, because you know how sci-fi fantasy romance is so my thing. That's just my wheelhouse. So it's out there. But the reason it's sci-fi fantasy romance is that happened to be the flavor of bad book I had picked up. So there you go. That's the only clue I'm giving as to the source of my inspiration, because I really don't want emails from people. And but yes, it's out there. That book is out there. Oh, yeah.
Now, tell me why historical romance. I mean, don't get me wrong. You seriously put your foot in historical romance. And we'll, again, talk more about that in a little bit. But you are very, very good at historical romance. So was that the first thing you wanted to do? I mean, what drew you originally to historical romance? I mean, for me, I can tell. I know when I got into historical romance, and this is another little side story, but tell me about you.
I had two older sisters, and they were big readers. And for them, it was Barbara Cartland's. And you used to be able to pick
mm-hmm.
them up at used bookstores for like 5-10 cents or whatever.
Yes.
So they had hundreds of these things. And it was verboten, of course. I mean, I'm 7 years younger, and
mm-hmm.
so they're teenagers, and I'm really not supposed to be picking these books up, and I am. And then, of course, as they got into the steamier, heavier, you know, the Julie Garwoods and the
mm-hmm.
other books, I didn't see any reason why I couldn't read those too. So... almost initially, my definition for romance was historical. And
mm-hmm.
it was, I mean, Barbara Cartland, you can throw rocks all you want at the, she tended to be a little more formula. You knew what you were getting. It was
mm-hmm.
pretty good and dry.
That is
but
true.
For a young person, you know, Fiona's age, you know, my daughter's age, are actually about 9, 10, it was very, some would say, damaging. Others, people would say, awesome. But it really absolutely outlined what I thought romance entailed. That it was, you know, set in this time period. It was England. It was, you know, the peerage, all of those things. And you absorb the context and the details of that, and it's just incredible. And then the medievals came along and all kinds of things, you know, you just start exploring. I just loved romance novels. I thought they were awesome. And then as you get older, I probably abandoned them at some point, and then you come back around, and those are just the books that I enjoyed most. I love happy endings, and mm-hmm. I just thought historical, it just doesn't get better than the dresses and the balls and just all those little details and gloves and fans and men that were gentlemen. And I just didn't think in the modern world I was getting a lot of that, or I saw a lot of that. So it was very much, yeah, Colin Firth, Pride and Prejudice sealed the deal. And I've never never given it up. I've never given it up. So I love historicals. And when I met Robin Schoen and some of the other, they were writing, of course, really hefty, edgy historical erotica, or really, you know, steamy historicals. But they were talking about how the historical could actually reflect modern issues, how it didn't mm-hmm. have to be dated and this formula and marshmallow fluff. You could actually really cut a great story and you had more room to do that if you put it back in the past versus
right.
somebody, you know, it would be controversial to talk about that topic if you made it contemporary, but somehow if you addressed it in the past, you had that buffer and you could really say more by doing that. And that inspired me. Robin Schoen was actually the one that really pushed me to take the writing to the next level. And that inspired A Lady's Pleasure. That was that conversation about fluff versus can you be brave? Can you be courageous in your writing? Could you write the hottest sex scene on the planet with some crazy conversation over rum and cokes? And I, like an idiot, said, yeah, how hard can that be? So that was a dare that became a book. And
right.
then, unfortunately, that book set a precedent where readers were like, oh, more, more, more. Mm-hmm. of the hot sauce. And while I don't mind it, I just did not want to get stuck in I just don't ever want to be trapped by, you know, oh, once you've done it that way, that's the way you keep having to write that book over and over. And I thought,
right.
But that's the full, there you go, that's the full story from I can write a book and prove it
mm-hmm.
to the evolution of, you know, why I started in historicals and why it just made sense to me and still does. And there's nothing like a guy in a waistcoat and an evening coat. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's like the uniform of sexy is that. And then, you know, everything else.
That is exactly, at the time that I started reading historical novels, I have my oldest sister to thank for that, and literally almost similar.
Mm-hmm.
She fell in love with historical romances. She started reading Barbara Cartland, and she got them by the bags full from used stores, I mean, secondhand stores. And so, I mean, literally, I could not read. I used to read when I first started, just kind of, oh, what are you reading? And she's like, oh, Barbara Cartland, and oh, you have to read this. And I think I was, yeah, definitely early teenager or preteens. And I read about a book a day. I think
mm-hmm.
she kind of introduced them to me over summer break, and I was reading them about as fast as she was. And
yep.
so then after we had read enough of them together, you know, between the two of us, we started kind of, that's when we're like, oh, what is Torkel up to now? And hello, Valerian. I mean, so we really had the, oh, and her Diphenius gown and so forth and so on. So it was kind of like fun and a bonding thing for us.
Yes.
And then from there, like you said, I kind of graduated to Julie Garwood and Joanna Lindsay and
yes,
Jude Devereaux.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the most exciting things ever for me was to meet Jude Devereaux.
Oh, you've met her. I have not met her.
Yeah. So that was exciting. So tell me a little bit about your latest novel. You have two out right now. You have a short novella in A Very Matchmaker Christmas.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
That was a fun collaboration with Christy Caldwell, Danielle Harmon, and Valerie Bowman. And we wanted to do, a lot of people are doing anthologies or collections, mm-hmm. but we wanted to do something different where the four stories were actually intertwined, where all our characters are at the same house party, and you've got this great sort of resonance with each story, which turned out to be a challenge of unbelievable proportions because, by God, if in one story somebody's serving fish at dinner, then you better have everybody commenting on the fish when they are at that same mm-hmm. point in their stories. So we had some overlap. But I think for readers, that's a fun change. And, in fact, we just hit number one on Amazon yesterday with thanks, with Regencies in the Regency category. Yeah. And Victorian romance, Regency romance, and historicals were number one. We're number one.
Awesome.
Of course, that'll change
Yay.
By 2 p.m. Later. I mean, it could have already dropped. I don't know. But it's always exciting to see a collection
yes,
do well. And writing, as you know, very solitary. So
mm-hmm.
when you're suddenly on a team, sink or swim, it's a nice feeling to know you're in the room with some really great writers and good company, I guess. Is the way
right.
But that one's
Absolutely.
A Regency.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so for me, that's a little shift in gears. I tend to write Victorian,
mm-hmm.
mid-Victorian to late Victorian is the era that I'm most comfortable with. And the Regency is a gear shift. Like, people think, oh, it's all the same. Like it's all just one flavor of ice cream. It's like, oh, no. You're definitely, it's a 50-year jump. It's a big jump. So,
right.
But it's a fun jump. So there's that. If anybody is in the mood to wrap up their Christmas blues or just transition gently out of the holiday season, A Very Matchmaker Christmas is fun. It's the four mamas have been best friends, and they're trying to get rid of their daughters. That's the least polite way to put it, by having a house party, which who hasn't been there, right? So
true.
And then I think I've got Blind Aphrodite. Are you talking about Blind Aphrodite is out now?
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
Because that was my next question. Talk to us a little bit about Blind Aphrodite. And
well, that was my first attempt at an historical romance. This is another. I know. I re-released it. It was my very first attempt at historical romance. So everybody be nice, darn it. But
now, you say it's a twist on Beauty and the Beast like no other, so why is
yeah.
that, Renee?
Well, because Muck, or Rudger, the captain of the ship, is actually scarred and disfigured. There was an accident, and so he's been marked up. So I think men have vanity, too. He used to be very handsome, and now he's
mm-hmm.
not. So the ship has become sort of a sanctuary for him. He doesn't get off that ship too much. And the heroine in the story, Claire, is blind. So Claire loves him for who he is, and it has nothing to do with how he looks. And
right.
I loved the evolution of that love story. It's very genuine. And for me, I think it's pretty genuine. And the best compliment I ever got on that book was that it was read by someone who was working in Washington, D.C., with the Disabilities Act and
mm-hmm.
Disabilities Support Department. And she said it was one of the best portrayals of a blind that she'd ever come across.
Wow.
I didn't placate. This wasn't a character that wanted to be defined by being blind. She, who gives a flip? Your eyes are blue, your eyes are this, your eyes are that. There's more to a person than one aspect of their skill set. And so I love that story. And even though it has some patches, to me what's fun is I can see the evolution of Renee Bernard. I can see there it is, second, where it all came from and my love of secondary characters and, a quick read of compelling page turner, all that fun stuff you're trying to do when you start out. It's like, not bad. and it was fun to re-edit it, add some things, and give it a new cover, and just really give it another chance to sort of find its feet. It's a really sweet story, and I'm proud of it. I'm really proud of that one. So, yeah.
Now, Before we get wrapped up, hearing more from award-winning and USA Today best-selling author Renee Bernard,
I would like
listeners to know, you only got a couple more minutes, but if you do want to ask a question, you can go into the live chat session. It is open, and you're welcome to comment or ask questions there. If you really got a quick question, you can actually call us at 646-200-4071. After the live show, I will be posting a recap blog to readersentertainment.com. So those listeners, thank you, that want to learn more about Renee in the last few minutes of the show, you can check out her website at www.reneebernardauthor.com. And that's R-E-N-E-E-B-E-R-N-A-R-D-A-U-T-H-O-R. So, Renee, you are well known for doing things that, you know, are always with purpose, always for the betterment of others, and just to really benefit readers and authors alike. So tell us a little bit about your project you've got going on now, HRR. Talk to us about that and how that got started and how people can get involved with that.
Please. Yeah, everybody, a historical romance retreat. So if you love historical romances, historical romance retreat. I felt like, and maybe historical romances were sort of the start of a big push for the genre back in the 1970s, 80s. And it's kind of as new flavors of romance came on board, it's less and less center stage. And people keep saying things like historical romance is dead, which makes me crazy. So I wanted to create an event that celebrated historical romance, that gave the readers that love it a place to come and have like a fan fest. So it's like the Comic-Con of historical romance. We have almost 50 New York Times best-selling and USA Today best-selling historical romance authors coming to this event, and we've limited it to only 300 readers. So it's a weekend event. It's parties and high tea. We're having a grand ball. We're going to go to an Art Deco theater and watch a black and white film and eat some really cool candies from the 30s. We're doing everything. You don't have to dress up if you don't want to. A lot of people have instantly said they're going to dress up in costume for the various events. That's wonderful, but I don't want anyone to feel left out. Come in your bunny slippers and your pajamas. I'm so excited to meet the super readers out there that love historical romance and to give them an incredible event. We're in the historic Davenport Hotel. It's in Spokane, Washington, which I know is a little off the beaten path, but trust me, it's worth every second you spend getting there. It's going to be phenomenal. And we're only going to do the retreat every 2 years. So this is our inaugural year. It's September 22nd through the 25th. And I get teared up thinking about that farewell champagne brunch we're going to have, because I know I'm just going to be in love with each and every person in that room by the time it's all done. So, but it's a wonderful, wonderful event. So if you love books and you want to get a bunch of free ones and some prizes and gifts and you name it, trust me, your registration dollars, it's an event like you wish so many of the conventions were. Intimate, just over the top. It's all about the readers. The readers are the VIPs. It's not an industry event. We're not going to talk about business or craft or how to write a book or any of that. It's just readers and authors celebrating historical romance. That's the goal.
And the website for that,
yes.
And I'm on the website for that actually as we speak. It is www.historicalromanceretreat.com. Mm-hmm. Again, that's historicalromanceretreat.com. There are currently only 140 spots left. Sign up today. Sign up as soon as you can. And I am actually sitting there going, you know what? I forgot to sign up myself.
You need to sign up.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to have to sign up.
It's actually less than that. It's like 135. We've got a counter going somewhere, but it's actually less than that now. We've had several sign-ups. So, Yeah, and once they're sold out, it's sold out. That's it. We just didn't want it to be so big that people felt overwhelmed. We want them to feel like they absolutely get to meet every author and spend quality time with the authors they love. Mary Balog, Sabrina Jeffries, Victoria Alexander, Julia London, Julie Johnstone. I mean, it's like I could go on and on and on. It's like the list of our authors is on that page. And if I didn't mention somebody, don't get mad, guys. There's 48 of you. but Anna Campbell, Alana Lucas. I'm like, oh, there's just so many incredible authors. We've got Linda Lale Miller is coming out to talk about her historicals. She's doing contemporary Westerns now, but we kind of talked her into coming back because I know readers still treasure those books and want to hang out with her. And we have readers coming from England, from Australia, from all over the country. It's going to be so much fun. So much fun.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So
I'm excited because there wasn't anything for historical romance, and I just – it deserves to be special. It deserves to have an event of its own. So we're kind of breaking some ground.
Yay.
Yay. And it's an excuse to be silly and drink wine. And
well, you know, any chance –
and
that,
wear my red velvet coat.
There.
It's an excuse to wear my red velvet duster coat. There, I said it.
Well, you know, because, you know, we don't really get a chance to, you know, chat, you know, we get a chance to chat, but not in a kind of like I get to interview you type of thing. So really quick, I'm going to ask you, what is one thing that you have to have while you're writing and why?
There's a couple essentials. One of them is my hand warmers because my fingers get – I'm just at a certain point in life, people, where we've got to keep the old digits warm. And the other thing is my tea. Out of pure habit, I like to have a cup of tea sitting next to the keyboard that then turns cold by the time I remember I have the tea, and then I reheat it multiple times throughout the day. It's a lovely ritual, forces me to get up a few times. The illusion that I'm drinking tea just makes me feel sophisticated and happy. But how many cups of tea I actually drink? Probably, yeah, not as many cups of tea as I want to believe that I drink. But that's probably my two killer things is my teacup, and then I have more pairs of awesome hand warmers than anyone has a right to own, and depending on my mood.
I never knew that you had an array of hand warmer, so I bet they are pretty cool, and you've probably got all sorts of different ones, so that's pretty neat.
I have got elbow-length leather, I've got the fur-lined, I've got the rainbow, the lace, oh yeah, it's hilarious. And yet, if I see an awesome pair of hand warmers, oh yeah, can't resist. I pick them right up. Not shoes, not purses. I'm not a shopper. It's amazing. I can walk through anything and I'm fine. But by God, hand warmers. I think
like there will be laughing, there will be fun, and by God, there will be hand warmers.
There will be hand warmers. Yeah. So I.
Well, you know,
it's a weakness.
This has been such a great and wonderful time, and darn it has flown by yet again. So I would like to thank our listeners here for joining us at Readers Entertainment Radio.
I'd rather be on your show than do mine. I mean, this was just awesome. Just, you know what, just sign me up and we'll just hang out every Thursday for mind. All right,
forget,
you can have,
you know,
other guests.
And this is the first time I've been able to say this. You can find Renee or I at readersentertainment.com. So
yes,
you can check out her show, The Romance
mm-hmm.
Bookmark. That's on Tuesdays at what time, Renee?
My show's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I would like to invite any authors out there, even if you have one debut novel or you have 40, do not care. I love you. I want you to come on the show, hang out with me, let's laugh. I might remember to talk about books, maybe not. And I just want to say that I guess I love to talk to new authors. I think you're wonderful. I know it's hard. So if you feel like there's just nowhere to promote your books, that's wrong. You can come on my show. I love you. So there. That was my push.
Yes. And actually, her next guest on Tuesday is going to be Anna Brentwood. So definitely check Renee and Anna out. My guest for Thursday the 14th is going to be Virginia Gray. And I am going to echo Renee's sentiments. We love authors, authors, authors. We would love to have you on our shows. So please reach out to us.
I forgot
Renee,
Anna Brentwood was going to be on my show. I'm so glad you said that.
See?
I was like, oh, thank God, I have a guest next week. Thank God.
Yes, you do. God. And so, Renee, tell people how to get in touch with you.
Oh, well, obviously via readersentertainment.com, and then you can always contact me via my website, ReneeBernardAuthor.com, and via ARCrimson.com, don't ask, and let's face it, via HadesEnterprises.com. There's a lovely, lovely link to Malcolm's
desk. Yeah, we have to have a whole other show just for that.
A whole other show about Malcolm.
A whole other show.
Yeah, but Malcolm does copy me on his correspondence. So if you have something wicked to say to a demon, you can trust me. I'll take a look at that. So,
so
we didn't even
anyway,
talk about those books. Yeah, those books. Are,
I know.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. You're just gonna have to get on here again, and we're gonna have to talk about those because again, that's a whole another genre there.
Schedule me in February. I got a new book coming out, The Wild Duchess, and we can talk about The Wild Duchess.
Oh yes.
More books.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. We didn't even get a chance to talk about The Jaded Gentleman, my all-time favorites, and I want you all to know out there, I lost a ridiculous amount of sleep reading all of those. I was a little, I'm telling you, I will say it got a little obsessive for me for a while because
you were irritated with me for a while.
Yeah, I think that was like the first stories that I had actually read by you, and so originally, I had downloaded them on my husband's Kindle, and one after the other, as soon as I got finished one, I was, boom, I was buying that second and third, and there are seven novels. So this is an testament, truly, to A, how much I love this woman's writing,
and
B, how addictive The Jaded Gentlemen are, because,
well, get ready, because
once I got one, I could not put the next, I was, next one, well, next one, next one.
Here comes the Duchess Club. Yep, it's their daughters. So, yeah, the Jaded.
Before I had caught up, because I think I had to wait for that one, right?
Yeah, Diamonds. Yeah, Diamonds you had to wait for because I had to self-publish it. Yeah, sorry.
I'm like, come on. Will you?
Come on.
And the funny thing is that I told her, and it's like, okay, now my husband is like, his Kindle kept sending him, hey, if you like The Jaded Gentleman, you'll love this book. So
mine complains all the time. He's like, what are you reading?
Software because engineer husband has got an array of romance novels, most of which are shirtless wonders.
I know, same thing. My zombie-loving, apocalypse-loving guy keeps getting these books. Hey, if you like that, you're really going to like this. And he's like, no, no. No, I'm not.
No, I do not. And he's like, gee, thanks, Lisa. I'm like, sorry, it was addictive. I had to get the next
Why is there a cover of a shirtless guy man-spreading on my Kindle? Like, he's lounging in a chair, and he looks awesome in breeches and high boots. What's wrong with you?
So, yes, people, you'll definitely have to check those out. The new covers, by the way, Renee, are beautiful.
Thank
beautiful.
You. I'm re-releasing. Nobody else has seen it. You can't show it. I'm re-releasing The Jaded with those brand new covers in just a couple weeks, January 16th. So, big deal. And going to have a big ta-da. So, yeah. Oh, we're way over time.
I know. But gosh darn it. Occasionally, I do get to go over time, and it might as well be with you. So,
like, no, nobody's listening. Oh, just you and me and Mom. Let's face it. That's
well,
who's
see,
on the line right
even
now. It's
told
Mom.
Her yet, so she'll have to hear about this, like, after the fact in the podcast. So we'll have to tell her about, hey, you missed your daughters on the radio.
You missed your daughters on the radio. Which will probably get fired for. I'm waiting for the phone to ring. It'll be Sheila saying, you know, I need some new hosts because you people are just. Actually, Lisa
hey,
is professional, and on top of it, you, on the other hand, Renee Bernard, I don't know what you're doing out there, but we need to sit you down. So
if this actually were a show with two host people, this is kind of what it would be like. every
time. Should. We really need to make that happen. Let's just take over Blog Talk Radio. And it's just us talking every week. Okay,
right.
So everybody send Lisa an email if that's something you would enjoy, and we'll see if we can get a campaign going. And it's just us talking, very politically incorrect about everything that's going on in our lives, and nothing snarky, but we may occasionally skirt
no
that,
snark.
You know, because life is that way.
I know. Okay, so I think I am going to end the call because seriously,
we're
going to record for another hour.
No, we got to end it now. But let's get together and talk about
now.
Paranormal contemporaries and some other fun stuff one day.
Yes, absolutely.
And, which means I have to write another book. So
no pressure.
Let me just get Devil of a Job out real quick, and you're gonna like him, by the way. You're gonna like that book a lot. FYI. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
So,
anyway.
Not to stretch it out, but just let you know. I'm writing it for you. You're going to enjoy it. I've got you
cool.
in mind. You're going to enjoy it.
Thank you. Well, this has been your host, Lisa Watson. And
it has been, yes.
It has been wonderful. And thank you so much, Renee Bernard, for coming on the show tonight. As
thank
always,
you for having
a pleasure
me
talking
your
to
program.
You.
I'm a big fan. I am. You're awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having
thank
me on the show.
You.
Really appreciate it. I never talk about my own stuff on my show, so this has been a
exactly.
real
neither
true
do
joy.
I. So
thank
occasionally
you.
It's kind of nice to sit down and chat about it. Tina DeSalvo was a guest author. She's an author, but she was a guest host a few weeks ago, and she
mm-hmm.
got to interview me. So it was really funny and crazy. And,
yeah.
you know, it's every so often you got to kind of, you know, throw that little shameless plug out there.
I need you to come on
there.
My show. More, I don't understand. You know, now you have to repay the favor. Come on, mine. There.
I
there.
Certainly will do that. Absolutely.
But thank you,
I'm
readers.
There.
Thank you, listeners. And I really hope I see you in Spokane in September. Truly, fingers crossed. Come
absolutely.
See me. Come
all
see
right,
us.
So I'm your host again, Lisa Watson, saying thank you for joining me tonight. Be inspired and happy reading. And cue the outro. Bye, Renee.
Good night, everybody.
Brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.